Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our opinion, our opinion, our opinion.
If you really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about your things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife, 'cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. Hey, L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, 'cause we all in desperate need and need to learn to plant our seed. We gotta grow as a people, 'cause wisdom and knowledge is equal, and all we need to learn to do is spread our wings like eagles. Now, let's talk truth, let's talk truth, let's talk truth. Lord, sit down to talk truth, but the rest is on you.
Good evening, everyone. We're here tonight for another show on Let's Talk Truth, and we're so happy that you all have joined us tonight. In our last broadcast, we were talking about the mystery of suffering, and we felt like we really didn't give it up, everything that we should have given it during that time, because there's so much more to be known. So tonight our subject is going to be the mystery of suffering, part two. And again tonight, I'm your host, Lois Bullock, and I'm here and thanking you and welcoming our co-host, Kay DeWitt, and I'm also welcoming our special guest, which is Barb, who is coming to us with a plethora of information on the mystery of suffering. Now, if you will, we know that suffering plays a great part, and it's inevitable as a part of our lives, whether we recognize it as being such. But can we be certain that the way we handle suffering determines our character? And we may want to ask, does it make a positive impact on our daily life? If suffering builds character and it comes from supernatural spiritual warfare, and this plays a major role in our lives. So we're expecting our special guest, Barb, and my co-host, Kay DeWitt. We're expecting them to come with some answers tonight that will give us a little bit of comfort in knowing that we're not suffering in vain. And before they come on, I want to say this. When I first came into the knowledge of Christ and gave myself to Christ to be Lord over my life, I went into it thinking I would never have another bad day in my life. I just expected everything to go my way. Never anyone, I would never hurt again. Well, that's where I was wrong. So we're going to talk tonight about suffering, because believe me, I asked God, I said, I want you to give me everything that you have to give. And in order for him to give you all of the power and the anointing that you ask for, it comes with suffering. So we're going to turn it into the hands of our special guest, Barb, and to my co-host, Kay. Whichever one of you want to start us off tonight, go right ahead and just, you know, bring us on board.
Hi there. Kay, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Who shall start?
You.
Well, there's a poem in a book that you and I have both been reading, an excellent book. It says, it's Don't Waste Your Sorrows by Paul Bilheimer. He does a wonderful job of explaining the role of suffering in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very short one, so I picked this one. It said, he writes, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she, but all the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me.
Mm.
Little did I know when I came to the Lord that I had but one request. And I'm glad sometimes that God doesn't show us the future, because when we get to the future, we're ready for it with Him. But to see
mm-hmm.
in the future, when we are still in the past, can be quite traumatic, which is why we don't have that gift. God was very wise, but He didn't let us look into the future.
Wow.
But I asked to learn how to love, because I grew up, whether truthfully so or whether I was told that, I felt I did not have a clue how to love. And so when I came to God, that was the most important thing. And I thought He was just going to shower me with all these wonderful feelings, and just like you described, Lori. So not so much it was things going well as I would have these tremendous, emotional, wonderful feelings for people. Well,
mm-hmm.
that does come, and especially after the suffering, but that's not how it worked out.
No.
It wasn't long when I was hit with division in the family because of my faith, which some wrong decisions most definitely on my part as to how to respond to the persecution that came my way. It ended in a divorce, and I lost so much. There are no words for what I lost. Then I went through another marriage. This time I married a pastor, and it was going to be all wonderful. And again, I ended up with more loss. So I have, but each time, without knowing when it happened, only experiencing it in the future, I did find that I changed. I found that circumstances would come up that would bother me in the past that were nothing in my present. Mm-hmm. I mean, one thing you find out compared to what you've gone through, the things that you think are so bad and horrible are not. And, of course, I think of these people all over our country, whether we're talking about the floods, whether we're talking about tornadoes or fire, or the terrible fires in Southern California. These are people who have lost everything.
Yes.
Now, imagine what their response would be if, having gone through this, their dishwasher didn't work, their vacuum didn't work. It turns out that the children were late in getting to school and the car didn't start. Everything, friends, is relative.
Mm-hmm.
And it does take the extreme experiences in our life to understand what that relativity is.
Yeah.
If you would describe the mystery of suffering, it's found in the passage in the Bible where Joseph says, what Satan intends for evil, God can turn to good. The mystery of suffering is that when we submit to God in an evil situation, as we go through the suffering that always accompanies evil, He takes that situation, which is
mm-hmm.
evil, and transforms that evil into good. And that transformation
yes.
comes predominantly through the transformation in our character, which is the spiritual warfare that you were discussing. Satan intends evil. And in so doing, he allows a lot of hard things to touch our lives. He has influence over people. They hurt us. They betray us. They lie to us. How we react is what determines our character. Something that is evil that touches our life does not have to turn us into bitterness and make us evil or have an influence. It can turn us into something beautiful as we go through the suffering and we know how to let God, as we submit to him, work that work in our life of transformation. And therein is the mystery.
You know, Barb, you were talking a minute ago, and somehow your life and mine have kind of mirrored each other. I was married the first time, just morally good, came from a morally good family, and was taught, you know, to reverence your husband, and that ended in divorce. A big letdown for me because I went into that marriage very innocent. And my next marriage was to a pastor. And, oh, man, you cannot describe how I felt when I went home one day early and caught him in his act of whatever he called it, you know, him and the secretary of the church. She was at my house, and they both didn't have clothes on. So I just assumed they weren't going over the books. But that was devastating to me. And we can talk about our suffering, but until we know what Romans 8:28 is, which it says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and those are called according to his purpose. We have to know the word of God in order to stand during our suffering. And that's what I had to grow. And it hurts like the dickens until we really grasp the word of God and allow God to nurture us. Have you ever found a piece of wire somewhere that has been balled up for years and years? That's how our life is. That's how we are. Then we get ready to use it. We have to straighten it out. Have you ever straightened out a piece of wire? It's bent in all sorts of directions. Well, every time you take and unbend it to straighten it, that's the way we are. That hurts. It hurts us. It hurts our flesh in order to be unwound and to come out straight where we can really serve God and pass it on. But you know what? Everything that you said is so true. And I went through all of this, and I'm still going through some things, but each day offers a new kind of suffering. You know what I'm saying? I don't suffer anymore for those losses because I understood that a person can only love me with what they have in them to love with. If they don't have Christ in them, they can't love me like Christ. So I learned not to be bitter toward them. I learned to pray for them. And right now, my ex-husband and I, we're friends. In fact, I pray with them a lot of times over the phone. I don't hold it against them. I don't hold it against the lady that I caught him with. She calls me regularly and for prayer. We pray together and talk about the word of God. But for the people who have not made it to where we are, all we can do is tell them, you've got to trust God that he's going to bring you out, because we're going to suffer as long as we're trying to live for God. We're going to suffer in one capacity or the other. And I just wanted to share that with you. So you will understand that I do know how you were hurt, because I was hurt the same way. And now you guys can go on. I'm just...
Okay.
Well, I want to... You have someone to say, right? Now I can say something, but I thought you were going to continue.
Well,
well,
I apologize if this phone disappears, although it may just...
Did it disappear, Lois?
No, I can hear you.
Okay, and let me explain. It did happen. Barb's had a problem with her phone where it just cuts off, okay? And I think this has happened. Barb, are you there? See, she tried to fix it. She called Spectrum. And they told her to do some things, but obviously it didn't work, and I had said to her.
And the Lord has...
Wait, you blanked out, Barb. You know we lost you.
Okay, and if it continues, I will call on the other phone.
I told Lois about how everybody was listening, and they're having a problem with this phone, so we missed what you said.
I'm sorry. I just explained my phone. You may lose me. I said I want to digress a little bit, but it's not going down a bunny trail. It will tie in. And if you lose me, please tell me that I'm gone.
Well, you won't be able to hear us.
Well, we'll see how this works out, and let's just pray for a moment, okay?
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I come before you, and you're over this phone situation, and I'm just trusting that what you would have heard will be heard, and what gets cut off, Father, it is by your permission, but I do bind off the enemy now in the name of Jesus, that any interference
mm-hmm.
comes not be from him. Lord, I put you over this situation, and I trust that your will would be done in it now. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 I said that I am a student in prophecy. I came to the Lord through prophecy. With my scientific mind, it was a battle. But when I studied prophecy, I could not deny the miracle of Jesus, the fulfillment of prophecy, the Bible. It just smashed all my logical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I am touching upon this subject is that something very important happened this week in terms of prophecy. I'm not
mm-hmm.
going to go into it right now, but it does have to do with Jerusalem being made the capital of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
What it means is that we are getting nearer and nearer to the end of the end. We are already
yep.
into end times.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that our church, the church people today, are going through a great suffering in many ways, through the floods, through the fires, through all the things that are happening, the shootings, because
mm-hmm.
God is preparing us for a future time, a time of persecution. Now,
yeah.
I would say to people out there, I don't know if there's only one or two or three. It does not matter. You
mm-hmm.
all have friends, and this is a talk show. So
mm-hmm.
I say, let's talk. Let's talk
mm-hmm.
about anything that might be a question. Let's talk about if anyone has a question about prophecy out there, any questions
mm-hmm.
about... How do we know if we're in end times? If you don't want to be known, pick a radio name and call and ask questions. If you have any areas that you're struggling, let's talk. Ask the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
God will give us whatever wisdom that he would have us to give to you. If you want to know about the signs of end times, call, ask. If you want to know, is climate change real? Call
mm-hmm.
and ask. If you don't know what the rapture is, my gosh, call and ask. And if you don't
mm-hmm.
know what the tribulation period is, then you don't understand that you're heading for a terrible time. We're all heading for a terrible time of darkness, one which I believe that as we become his disciples, we as a church can avoid and will be taken out of. However,
yeah.
You have to know, you have to, the God gives us the Bible as a map. And right
mm-hmm.
now the call upon the church is to prepare. It's not a time of name it or claim it. It's a time of understanding what
mm-hmm.
lies ahead. There are two churches in the end in Revelation, which is prophecy. But one is the Philadelphian church, and that is the church, the pure church, that has learned to stand and
mm-hmm.
fight the good fight. It doesn't take territory now. Those days are
yeah.
over. God only asks that these are the people who stand and keep his word. Then there's
mm-hmm.
the Laodicean church. That is the church, the name it and claim it, and the people within the church that are still fighting for rights. It is amazing
mm-hmm.
how the Bible talks about end time. The end time situation will be a people who are fighting for rights. And that's all we hear
yeah.
about now on TV. Rights of this group, rights of that group. Rights. Now listen, people, yes, we have rights. And never think we don't. But Jesus, knowing his rights, his right to the throne, laid down those rights. The
mm-hmm.
church, in the end, we will, knowing our rights, we are being asked to lay down these rights because in true agape love, there is a laying down of rights in a marriage. If you want that marriage to become a supernatural testimony of God, you will have to learn to lay down those rights which are yours. But the wonderful thing is that you have to know your rights before you can lay them down. If you're in some stage of insecurity where you're still fighting for your identity, you can't lay your rights down. So we have to know who we are, see who we are in Christ, so we can lay down that which we already possess to become that servant that will be able
uh-huh.
to stand in the persecution of end times. Does this make sense to those who are listening?
Yeah.
Feedback, please.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
You're making sense. You are making sense. And I was talking to someone this past week, and I said, we're going through a lot of things. I said, but God is just filtering. He's giving us to know who's going to be able to stand and who's not. You know, and we've got to, just like you say, we've got to have that relationship with God and stop fighting for territory. God has already established who we are. He's already established, you know, we're going to hold on. We're going to either hold on or perish. But either way, my prayer every day is to God bless, you know, strengthen me that I might stand where you have me standing regardless of what's going on around me. And we've got to stop bickering and fighting with one another in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Because he's strengthening
us. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That takes... I'm just going to say,
yep.
that takes agape love to not have to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you
yep.
have been wronged, all the temptation to defend, the temptation to argue back, believe me, I know that. I could have been a great
mm-hmm.
defense lawyer. I left that to my children. But anyway, that is the flesh, but that is... That's not what the scripture says, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. And
right.
for those of you who question whether or not Jesus is coming, ask questions. How do we know whether it's close? What do you see
mm-hmm.
happening out there? Do you realize, do you feel the...
Uh-oh.
Yes, I'm sure.
I think the phone went.
Mm-hmm. But I understand what she's trying to say. And Barb, if you can hear me, as soon as you get back connected, because you're still showing that you're connected here on the
studio. Isn't that interesting? I don't think, Lois, when that happens, I don't think she, as we can't hear her, I don't think she can hear you.
Okay. Well, I understand perfectly what she's saying, and she's saying that.
I'm afraid those who have not been prepared will be getting prepared through the suffering that lies ahead.
Yeah, did you know that you blanked out?
No, I did not.
Yeah, but that's okay. That's okay.
I will have to assume it's. I won't go through it when I listen to it during the week. People out there may not know. You can call the website and get the replay. I will figure that it was something that God felt was not important. So I don't know what was lost.
Well,
I'm sorry, but you know, God is above all of this.
Yes, and you go right ahead, because when you blank out, they're going to keep talking, and I just got through saying, Barb, when you can come back, just come back on talking. That's okay.
Well, maybe it's time then, if it's that bad, maybe it's time that I should try the other phone. So as I dial up, I could probably talk, but why Kay, maybe you would like to share what you've learned for, if am I on the air right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we can hear you.
All right. I always tell the story that there was a set of twins. One person was very independent and insisted upon walking. Another person was very independent, little girl, and wanted to be in the carriage, pushed all the time. Well, the one who insists upon walking is the one right now that can't walk very well. And the one who wanted to ride in the carriage and be pushed all the time has been kicked out of the carriage into the world of mowing lawns and doing other things that she would rather not do, as she has learned the physical realm does exist. Okay?
Well, anyway, you know, part of where it starts, and again, you're going to hear me say so many things that's lacking in all of Christendom, is you have to get to the point, number one, where you really hunger and thirst for Christ, not for what he gives you, but for who he is. And if you hunger and thirst to know him and then to be conformed to his image, then it is much easier to embrace the suffering, even though the flesh never says, praise God for the pain.
No.
You know, the book that Barb mentioned is absolutely wonderful. It's Don't Waste Your Sorrows. And it's about how our sorrows are intended to equip us for reign in heaven. You see, people don't even think about that. But if you really and truly get to the point where you live for eternity, then that does, as Barbara said, push everything of earth in perspective. But you see, and as I've said it ad nauseum, Christendom is so filled with the feel-good message. People jumping up high, and you know that this is foreign to them. And you know, the time to prepare for tragedy is before it happens. Therefore, those who have sought the Lord to feel good, I don't care whether it's for the Holy Ghost goosebumps or for whatever reason, are ill-prepared to deal with a tragedy like the fires, where if all along they have realized that there's a cost to following Jesus, you know, as I said too, you know, my Lord said, pick up your cross and follow me, not pick up your purse.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that too is kind of where it starts. If you want this sorrow to make you bitter and not better, and somebody once said that sorrow makes you either bitter or better, you have to want to be made better, or you're going to get bitter because no one the flesh never enjoys suffering. Even when you're sold out for Christ and would give your life for him, the flesh always walks. Pain is pain, and there's no enjoyment to it. But the more we walk with Christ, the more we have the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to transcend the pain, only meaning it can't control us. It doesn't mean we feel it less, and that's, too, where Christendom has missed it. It's you know, the philosophy of the world is suffer at no cost. That's why they get into drinking and drugs and whatever they get into. And ultimately, mm-hmm. and this is I feel is a pretty good evangelistic tool, is to ask somebody who doesn't believe, so what's life about? Is there any meaning to it? I mean, do you just live and you die? And there, unless you believe that life is about eternity, there is no meaning
mm-hmm.
to life. And, you know, Solomon expressed that so beautifully in Ecclesiastes. And we see this with the superstars as to why, even though they have everything the world tells us we need, we makes for happiness, they're the most miserable
mm-hmm.
people on the face of the earth. And so many of them have OD'd, and you know, but they don't get it. That's amazing to me. You know, you know, it's just I live in a world and none of it makes sense. They see people like Whitney Houston, Robin Williams, the endless getting these Emmys, and saying,
"Oh,
this is the greatest night of my life." And what did it mean? How did it stop Whitney from taking her life? How did it stop Michael Jackson? How did it stop Robin Williams? They see that, but they still, you know, spend life to get that Emmy that means nothing instead of working for the rewards in heaven. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. But anyway.
When you talk about the movie stars, I always tell people that God is not a God of pressure. When you're in a movie industry or any big executive job, there is a lot of pressure upon you to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've succeeded, you're now under a higher expectation, not only with yourself but from others, and you have to
mm-hmm.
maintain that success. That pressure is horrible, and because people have not gone under the suffering, wherein we learn that it's by God's power, not by our self efforts. What happens is the pressure takes over, and it's too much, the strain is too much, so people begin to take drugs or alcohol or whatever it is for some relief from
mm-hmm.
that pressure. And when you're walking with God and you feel that pressure and things are just building up, it's, you know, it's God saying, stop. Somewhere your priorities are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're not moving under my power. You're moving under your self-effort. Now,
yes.
If anyone listening, if something out there, if that's the way you choose to go through life, well, that has only one ending. That will be the demise of your spirit life, and your flesh life will take over. It's being willing to relax, abide in God. Let's say, for example, this phone. If it cuts out, I know that's God's problem. It's not my problem. And I'm on another phone, by the way, right now. It's not
mm-hmm.
my problem. But if I put this expectation upon myself for performance, why, when the phone cut out, I would just panic.
Mm-hmm.
That is the difference between, not that it's a big deal, you know, but at this stage of life, but taking it to a much higher level, that is the difference between knowing what it means to abide in Christ and have his rest. We always move from a position of rest versus coming
yeah.
under the pressure of life that in the end is going to lead to mental problems no matter which way they come from. You can't take that kind of stress. We weren't built for it.
No. And that's the enemy's tool. That's his weapon that he uses against us, is to make us worry and stress about something. When it's God's, that's God's place to take care of us. He said, you know, I'm going to wrap you guys up in my arms, and I'm going to, you know, everything that you have, I'm going to take it upon me. So, we shouldn't stress about anything. I had a lady that told me once, she said, well, you know, there's
They told me it would be a light at the end of the tunnel, but when I got down there, it was just a train. And I it was. You must have been in the wrong tunnel. Were you in the tunnel God put you in, or what you wanted to do?
Oh, I like that.
Now,
because
I have
you. Go ahead.
I had a prayer request this Sunday. And my flesh would say, I hope to God this is not another prayer request when I ask God to teach me to love. And that is, I admit this with honesty. I know I don't have enough of a heart for intercession. I know that. And I know I'm called to it. In fact, now, perhaps because I have gone through what I've gone through and I'm over that last hurdle, we're ready for the next one. My prayers are quick prayers, you know. It's not this long laboring acts of love that God wants for us. So I went forward Sunday in church and I asked, it's God's problem. Now remember, I'm saying it's God's, he only wants from us the will to change, the desire. He has to do the changing. So I go up and I say, ask a prayer between me and my pastor, Rick Biley, Lord, give me a heart of intercession. Now, I say that with fear and trembling. Because it's like the prayer to love. Sometimes the only way to get God to get us where we need to be when our heart is off is to bring us through a rough time. And I'm only speaking now, and I don't know whether this is whether I'm speaking prophetically or whether I'm just speaking out of knowledge of knowing God's formula at times, or his pattern, I should say, that he might put me in an area of such concern that my heart is truly so overcome that I fall to my knees and pray with all my heart for God to heal or change a certain circumstance. I don't know how he will work it out, and I don't know that I want to know right now. That's a later story. But the point is this, I'm making, I can't change myself, but I will that. So those of you who make your New Year's resolutions and go on all these diets in your own power, forget it. It's not going to work. Just have the heart that God wants you to have to change, and then let him do the changing. And I maybe stress that so much is because I hear too many pastors, too many churches teaching a kind of teaching that puts people under the law and then tells them to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps and change.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. You can only accomplish in Christ what God has equipped you to accomplish. You know, you can't just, I can't sit up here and, here I am, a 25-year-old gorgeous female, and I'm looking for this, 26-year-old hunk. What has that got to do with anything? What does that have to do with God's kingdom work? The man God put in my life might be real ugly to you guys, but he'll be handsome to me.
Right.
So it's what we need in our life to accomplish the kingdom's goal. And we're so, a lot of young girls, ooh, he's so cute.
Yeah, I know.
He's got a good job. But that's not what God has put, wants from you. He's not looking for that.
Well, maybe as a note of humor, I'm not quite sure. I've been struggling, this year I lost a person that I love so much. And that leaves me a question with what now, because there's a part of me that still wanted that companion, but you know what? I'm gonna give God credit for this. I just read a book on the difference between the male brain and the female brain, and I realized all those issues that I struggle with has to do with the way their brain works. And I said, forget it, God. I said, listen, I don't know if I can change enough to adapt to their brain, and it's sure the truth that they can't change their brain. Well, yes, yes, but it's even more than that. Areas, the emotional part of the female brain, it's more initially in the, well, I won't go into it, just say the way it ends up as adults, the emotional part of the female brain is more developed. So the man says to the woman, you're so emotional, but the sexual part of the male brain is more developed in the male than the female, because I won't go into the hormones, testosterone, testosterone versus estrogen. But the point is this. The male does look at the sex differently than the female. And we want it all with romance and true love. And after reading all this, I said, I really did say, forget it, God. I'm too old now to deal with this.
Right now I've been cured. It has to be love. Because if a man doesn't love, he has to love to be a faithful person, because otherwise anything would do. You know, that's man. Because men are not emotional creatures. God made them protectors and providers. So that, you know, all that right brain, left brain stuff, we just got to be compatible the way God puts us together.
Well, that's why it takes a godly man, and I'm not sure, and I this goes for women too. I'm not mad if there are any men. I'm not knocking the males, really. But our culture being such, our culture being such now, I don't know how much I trust anymore. I don't know how much I can let go to God. But I do know it distracts me from the call on my life. And I don't have a lot of years left. So I guess I'm figuring perhaps with these last years, God does not want me to be distracted, because it's an awful lot of work in a marriage. And if your energy goes in that direction, there isn't a lot left for other things.
That's right.
And perhaps at this stage of life.
But you know what? In my work in the ministry, I need a husband. I need a husband to fulfill God's purpose. And you know how it is. I was just reading about the different people in the gospel who failed because they were not connected with the right person. I don't know how many pastors have been taught, you know, doing the wrong thing with some member in the church. And, you know, that has a lot to do with their walk with Christ and their dedication to Christ. But me as a female, I need a husband to, I guess, be my forerunner, be my John the Baptist. You know what I'm saying? Because women
I do know what you're saying.
Yeah, women are treated horribly in the body of Christ. I went to look at a building, and the man met me there. And he was like, I was asking him about the building and were they going to sell it or rent it or what. But he was looking at me. He was looking at my legs and saying, are you a dancer? And I asked him, would a dancer be looking for a building to preach in? Oh, he almost caught me wrong. But, see, if I had a husband, I wouldn't have been approached like that, you know? So I run into that so much. But I still will wait for God to do. And we were talking about things being done to you. I trust you can be a big liar. I can know you're a liar. You can come up to me and tell me, oh, I'm telling the truth. Well, I know you're lying, because God says, I'm not going to let anything sneak up on you, dear. I'm going to show you before that enemy gets to you. But, and so he shows us how to interact. with people, but we still give their soul a chance. I tell anybody, the biggest lie in the world has a soul. Everybody has a soul and has the option to come to Christ, but that's left up to God. It's just the way how I interact with them that they see Christ in me.
I have struggled with that, and what you're talking about the male figure, and scripturally speaking, too, God always sent people out two by two. I've been in counseling situations where I've had to learn the hard way that this was not a good situation. I absolutely believe that every woman needs a male covering. Now, I may differ here a little bit from you. I'm not sure, but and I thought that male covering had to be a husband, but I'm not sure anymore. I have I'm thinking nowadays a good pastor. See, I go to a church where I feel I have a pastor there with a good heart, and I think he believes in me enough now. When I say something, I think he would trust maybe what I would say or respect. And if I have a good pastor over me for my protection and make sure that he's my covering, that may be all that is required. Because especially when you get into spiritual warfare. I believe totally in that male covering. It takes many years to develop. I don't know how, and I don't want to not ask you how old you are, but I don't have a lot of years from my perspective left.
68 years old.
Well, I'm 74, and you know, at your age, I still thought differently. But I'm old enough now that I'm thinking it takes a lot of years to develop a good marriage. And after thinking I knew someone these past 4 years going together and many, many years of knowing the person, I found out I didn't know him. So I'm not sure anymore. I think it comes down to God knows your needs. I have a Zerubbabel and Joshua vision for my life as well. Zerubbabel building up the temple, the church, and Joshua being the high priest. So there's the picture of the priest and the prophet kind of thing. But God knows who you need and what you need. And I just figure if I learn to give it to him, he's going to provide what I need. And because I got ahead of him, I got in some messes where I needed a protection. I didn't have it. So I have to leave it there.
Right. I understand. You know, and I believe in you. Let me tell you what I have a problem with. Now, I know a lot of powerful men of God that's so anointed. But you're not going to let them work with me because I'm a female. Their wives aren't. I had a man of God call me the other day from Florida, and I said, what in the world are you doing in Florida? He said, I just had to get away. I knew what he meant. His wife won't allow him to pray for people. She won't allow him to do anything. And, you know, my flesh wants to say, boy, why'd you get in that? But then I just keep praying for him. So this is the problem we have. It's not just the men. It's the women that's attached to these men. You know, and meaning pastors, these pastors who have wives won't allow them to interact. And maybe they have all rights to do so. I don't know. I just believe that if God gives me a husband at this late date, he will come cable ready. He will not be jealous. He and I will step in there and we will just be, you know, on one accord, going doing what. You know, it's kind of like the Holy Ghost and Jesus and God, all the Trinity, working in one. And that's what I look for. And if God doesn't give me that, then I'll be by myself.
Right. The point is we can't be distracted. There isn't a lot of time left now. I've made many trips around the mountain, but, you know, it is time to go forward. There isn't, I don't think there is, as I said, I am really impressed this week with what's happening out there in the world that and what I understand going on in other areas, that I really feel that the church, how can I put it this way, needs to get ready and prepare, and we need to let God do the work in us that he would do, and understand that the future is going to be hard. I have no idea of knowing how much we'll go through before the Lord returns. There are different beliefs out there as whether he's going to return before the tribulation, during, or after. I happen to believe that those who are his disciples, those who are looking for him, are going to be taken out before the tribulation, before the wrath, yes, the wrath of God really comes. But the Philadelphian church indicates there will be persecution, and we haven't known that yet in this country. There are many, no, there are many, many countries where there is a Philadelphian church, but we, mm-hmm, we have been blessed. But we have taken God's blessings, and I'm afraid we have taken them for granted and even turned our back. So our time is running out, and
yes,
there, I feel there will be some persecution before he returns. Not only that, it's not just a sin against the persecution. It's the fact that this is just my feelings. I'm not putting this forth as any kind of a doctrine. But I used to think the whole church would go. As I studied scripture and went back to the early manuscripts, I have discovered that the early church fathers did not believe that the whole church would be raptured before the tribulation. They believed,
exactly,
that only those mm-hmm, who are looking and who are disciples, and the rest are going to be go into the first 3.5 years to be tried and tested, because you can't be a fence sitter. You know, you could be,
right,
saved and be sitting on that fence. Well, that doesn't, mm-hmm, that does not equip you for reigning and ruling. And the thing that this book is really great about that we mentioned earlier is that our sufferings down here are preparing us, and that's what I want to emphasize, to be able to reign and rule with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We can't
now,
reign and rule as a baby. But
yeah, I want to ask a question, and you may not have a chance to answer it on this broadcast, but we'll do it on the next broadcast. I am not Jewish. I'm African-American. But I have had some words put in my mouth that I wake up with. One happened several years ago. And it's a Jewish word. And I woke up and this word came out of my mouth. And about a couple months ago, another word came out of my mouth. Well, I go and look them up, and they come from Jewish, they're words used in the Jewish or Yiddish. Where do I get those from? And I know God has to do it, but I'm just thinking, why?
Well, do you speak in tongues?
Yes.
Well, I speak in tongues now. It has not happened to me, but often when we have tongues, what is happening, I'm not saying this is the same thing, but there is a parallel here. When we speak in tongues,
mm-hmm,
there are times that God gives us an actual language. We are,
yes,
not just speaking in tongues. You are being, for some reason, you are being given another language. I am finding that I am developing tremendous heart for the Jews. They are God's,
okay,
chosen people, and I know that. And even though they're not all saved, there are some saved, but even though many of them, if not most of them, are going to go into that tribulation period is for the Jewish nation, so that they first will get their temple, but then they're going to lose their temple to the Antichrist, and they're going to have to flee. But they're going to, at that moment, when have their eyes open. God, in Romans, it says how the Jews have been blinded. But God is going to take that veil off their eyes during the tribulation period, and they're going to understand that their Messiah is not the Antichrist, that their Messiah has come. And they are going to fall down and worship, and they will have to flee. They will flee, we believe, to a place called Petra, and it's already being prepared for them. Food is already being stored. But they are going to know their God. And when you think about it, people, you think how one tiny little piece of land in the Middle East has caused so much disruption. How could it not? Because they're the people of God, and Satan knows that. For one little piece of land to affect the whole world, to turn the whole Muslim kingdom upside down, you know there's a reason. And I just have such a love for them and such a heart, and maybe God's working something in your heart that we don't even know right now.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but I do know that that's a godly thing. I mean, I know that's God doing something, and I just didn't know what. And I said, well, I don't know if, you know, if anyone else has ever experienced this or not. But it comes periodically, and, you know, so I was just wondering if any of you...
Well, maybe there's... I only know that my love, and he can be working something in you a different way, but with the same end result. I know my love has only come the last... I've always understood that how important they were, but I'm talking about a passion now, has only come through the last years of understanding the Jewish nation, the feasts and the prophetic call over them. Maybe God's working a different way of opening your eyes to this, but I don't know. Maybe there's going to be persecution in this country, and God's going to open a door for us to help in some way. I don't know. I only know that I have seen things these last couple of years concerning the Jewish nation that I never saw before. And this is the year of Jubilee. And it's not time where I don't know if people are interested in knowing what it means, the year of Jubilee, but it's quite prophetic that they were Jerusalem was recognized as the capital in the year of Jubilee.
Okay.
And of course,
listen, we have like 2 minutes left in this broadcast, and what we will do, we will take this up and continue on our next broadcast, because Let's Talk Truth is a show for learning and to provoke thought-provoking show. Hopefully we'll bring about change in a person's heart and in their mind, and giving us a new mindset about things that's going on. And I really appreciate you, Barb, and I appreciate you, Kay, for being here. Thanks, Courtney, for being here in the studio and for helping me. And I just want to say this. The Mystery of Suffering Part 2 was tonight, and we're going to take up where we left off on next week. Bring about some additional information, because it is, you know, to me it's a learning process as well. So thank you guys for being on board, and thank all of you for listening, and those of you that called in, I see you on the line, but you didn't say anything, but I want to know you are welcome to participate. So we're going to, with that said, we've got about 1 minute left. Anybody one minute want to close this out?
I'm just going to reinforce people to call in and ask questions. I'm sure everyone has questions on their mind. I'm sure they're aware their own lives are suffering, but they're also aware of things changing out there. And they might want to relate it to the Bible, or they may want to challenge whether the Bible is true. Hey, the Bible can testify for itself. Challenge.
That's right.
You know, we love to hear, at least I love to hear, and I think I'm speaking for everyone, questions and viewpoints.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. And if you all want to call in, of course, you can send me an email to letstalktruth333@gmail.com. You can call in and say anything you want to say. You don't really have to agree with what we're talking about. You can disagree.
Not at all.
But like you said, you know, we've got the word of God right there that will speak. And we just thank you for being on board. So with that being said, this is Lois Bullock. This is Let's Talk Truth. And I am loving you with the heart of God. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.